Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Luxury Investment Podcast. I am your host, Carter. Thank you so much for listening or watching on my YouTube channel. If you don't know, I do record all of these podcasts with video in case you are video inclined. You can always watch over there. Today's episode is a really good one. It is by far one of my favorite subjects and also one of my most requested episodes. It is how to travel luxury for cheap. In today's episode, we're going to go all into the nitty-gritty details on one, how to find deals on luxury flights. So you want to fly first class, but you don't want to pay the first class price tag. I got you. Next, we're going to talk about how to utilize credit card points. What is credit card churning? How does it apply to getting cheap travel deals? And all the tips and tricks on exactly what airlines and what hotels you should be looking at in order to maximize your wallet or points. So let's get straight into it. So where to find the flights? I get asked all of the time this question. Hey, I'm about to fly to Paris. I'm going to fly on the 29th. And how do I find the best deal? Okay, so first off, I'm going to talk to you like I talk to all of my friends. Here's the tea, guys. First of all, you have to believe that the deal exists. Okay? Now, so many people, hear me, so many people don't get good deals because they do not think the deal exists. They're like, oh, it's the height of travel. It's so close to the time I'm about to leave, et cetera, et cetera. The excuses go on and on. I promise you, there are amazing travel deals to be had no matter what time of year, no matter where you're going, no matter what the peak or the height of the season is, you can find good deals. So now that you know that they exist, I'm going to tell you how to find them. Now, you are going to trade your time to find these deals. So that is something to take into consideration. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't have time to research. I don't have time to compare back and forth. I just want to buy it and be done. Cool. Absolutely all day long. I get it. You're going to pay a premium for your flight and you're probably flying coach for what I fly first class. So you just want to keep that in mind, right? How worth it to you is finding a really good first class ticket because it is going to take a bit of research. Now, I've been doing this for a while and I'm not spending an insane amount of time researching. I'm not saying you need like 6 spreadsheets and like 3 weeks of time. Absolutely not. But are you going to take me, you know, maybe an hour researching different sites and comparing the difference? Yeah, you are. You also are going to trade what I call specifics. You are not going to be able to fly really specifically on one day and come back on one day. And this is what kind of hiccups a lot of people is because they will have certain days off from their job, for example, and they really want a very specific Tuesday and a very specific, you know, next Thursday or whatever it is. Deals only happen when deals happen, right? So to find the best deals, you're really adjusting your travel schedule to the deal and not the other way around. Because we are hunting out the best deal we can find within general parameters, right? So I want to travel, let's say, in July. So I'm going to start looking at the end of June, beginning of July, and I'm going to start comparing those dates. Now that we've got the basics down, let's get into how to do it. First of all, I'm a bit of an analytical personality, so this is like my happy place. I love doing this. Like, I research different flights and how cheap I can get to a certain place for like giggles, for fun, in my like relaxing time, right? So I'm going to give you all the details on what I've found, but you can do as much or little of this as it suits you. So first of all, we're going to talk about where to find the flight. Now, before we get into exact websites, we need to talk about how you're paying because there's more options than just paying cash or paying on your card or whatever, right? And there's a lot of different options on where to find different deals depending on how you're paying. But let's simplify this as much as we can by putting it into two categories. Let's call the categories cash or points. Now, cash means debit card, credit card, anything that means you're actually paying money. And then we'll say points, which is obviously a trade for a ticket in points that you've accumulated over time. And you're not actually having to pay any money towards the ticket, okay? Let's go into the first category, which is cash or just money in general, right? You are giving your money for the ticket. So let's start off with where to search. There are lots and lots of different websites that you can go to. And I know it is so overwhelming to know what websites are legit, where you should be looking, picking what's the best one out of all of them. So let's get into it, okay? I'm just going to tell you who I use specifically, right? And I kind of pride myself on finding very, very good deals. The most I've ever paid is $2,000 on Qatar Airlines, which is literally the nicest business class in the world. They have Emirates and Qatar, their competitors. Emirates takes it for first class and Qatar takes it for business class. They actually don't even have a first class. Their business and first is in one category. And that's the most I've ever paid. And I pretty much only travel first class at this point over to Europe. So I'm kind of well versed on it. So you can kind of take what websites I use as a really good starting point and the fact that I've used them and that they're trustworthy, right? So first we have to decide where you're going. Are you traveling within the US or are you traveling outside of the US? Because those are totally different search engines. So first I'll actually look at the main airlines flying out of my city. So I have a baseline for what it would typically cost. So I'll look at the American, the Delta, the Southwest, etc., right? Great. Then I go to these three websites. So first I go to a website called Rome to Rio. I love this website. This website literally just tells you what the options are in order to get to where you're going, because there will be a lot of different options. Let's say that you're going to a country you've never been before. There will be options of transportation or airlines that you've never heard of that operate and are really popular in that area, but not in where you're traveling from. And so that information is invaluable. So what I do is I go to Rome to Rio and I look up where I'm going from my city, right? And then I go into airlines because it'll give you trains, automobiles, all the things, right? So once it gives me all the options, I go into flights and then I look at all the different airlines it's giving me as an option from my city. And I'll write them all down, especially if I've never heard of them, so I can go to their websites later and check specifics from their website instead of necessarily what Rome to Rio price point is giving me. And then, and here's the biggest hack of them all, I will do that same exact search from another major hub in the US that I know it's easy for me to travel to. For example, I live in Oklahoma. Everything from the Midwest or a flyover state or a airport that isn't very busy is going to be a premium. Listen to me, you are paying like double the airline price by leaving out of your hometown instead of leaving out of a major airport. So I travel to Dallas. I will literally drive to Dallas or I'll take another flight to Dallas on points, but we'll get to that later. And I will fly out of another major city. So then I start looking at that on Rome to Rio. I'll start with Dallas to where I'm going and then maybe Atlanta and then maybe Florida, and then maybe New York, LA, et cetera, right? All of those are major cities that a lot of flights happen out of, right? So all the other cities are flying to those main city hubs, and then that main city hub has the big ticket airlines. So what you're trying to do is get to that major hub city the cheapest way, and what hub city is the cheapest to fly to where you're going, right? That's the information we're actually gathering. So after I've got a few of those boutique airlines and maybe the major airlines from Rome to Rio, I then go through and I look at those airlines' main websites. And then, listen, this is one of the best hacks you will ever hear on this subject. Hear me. You do not, by any means necessary, put USD on that website as the currency of choice. You put the currency of wherever you're going, because geo-tracking is so real. They absolutely inflate prices of foreign countries. So you can look at both, but it's really good if you have a VPN and you put your VPN in the country that you're traveling to and then look in that currency. Then you do a quick Google of what that exchange rate is and how much you're going to be paying in USD. Now we'll go into a little more detail on this later when we get into credit card points, because you do want to consider the fact what card you are paying with. If you're paying with a traditional debit card, you might have foreign transaction fees. You absolutely need to ask your bank, if you don't know this already, if your card has foreign transaction fees. High-tier credit cards typically don't. Usually it is a perk for any high-tier credit card that they will not have foreign transaction fees. And that means that this hack is going to be super ideal for you. Just to give you an example, one of my good girlfriends missed her flight in Paris. We were together in the airport. She was leaving and I was staying in Paris and we were there. She had missed her flight and she needed to buy a new one. She had to go back home. She looked up on her phone the next flight in USD. I looked up on my phone the next flight in euros. The euro flight was $500 cheaper, literally only because she was paying in euros and she was paying with a card that didn't have any foreign transaction fees. So it was a win-win. You see what I'm saying? This is so real and one of the best hacks that I use all of the time. Okay, so back on track. We're on these boutique air websites, and then I start sussing out who has first class, who doesn't, what the cheapest flight is, and I just start sort of logging that information as I'm researching, right? I'm not necessarily writing all of this down. A lot of this you can just remember, right? You're just kind of looking things up and going from one website to another and checking things out. Maybe I'll write down a price if something looks really good so I have something to compare it to later, et cetera, right? So once I kind of have a good idea of different airlines that fly to that area and what the price point is going to be in that currency versus maybe even a USD currency, that's a good thing to bring up. Every once in a while, USD will be cheaper. Not a lot, almost never, but I always check both just to make sure. And that brings up a good point. You always want to check the price on the airline's home website and a deal hunting website. For example, you might find a good deal on like a basic search engine website. There's lots of different ones, Priceline, Kayak, etc., right? Those are just a few major general companies, but that good deal might be even better on the home website or vice versa. Those are almost always not the same thing. You always want to check both. Even if you think that this is the best deal ever in the whole world and you found it on the Kayak app, definitely always check the homepage of the airline because they're not always the same. Once I have that information sort of logged, I've written out a few good deals that I think might work, etc. I have that kind of information rolling around in my brain. Then I will go to Skyscanner. I love Skyscanner. Skyscanner is just a search engine, but it is free. There's another one that's called Scott's Cheap Flights, but it is a paid. And those websites will typically send you good deals like once a month from your city because it's constantly searching for like the anomalies and the price mistakes on airlines' websites. But Skyscanner is free and it is just a search engine, but it includes all of those little boutique airlines that so many other search engine websites do not include. And that is why I love them the most. I have found some insanely good deals on Skyscanner that didn't show up on any of the other major search engines. And a lot of the time, it's because it's a boutique airline that the other companies don't have a relationship with. A lot of times, these bigger companies actually have contracts with the airlines themselves, and they are literally allotted so many seats on an airline. This is the same thing with hotels. They are allotted so many rooms that they can sell on kayak.com or priceline.com or whatever, right? So they are under contract that they have the right to sell so many rooms out of a hotel or so many flights on an airline. And that's exactly where you get so much fluctuation in prices on those websites because they're trying to sell them at the most that they can. But then when it gets closer to the date, a lot of times they will drop those prices significantly because they have the contract that they have to sell this seat. And so they'll take a loss or they might even out because they sold more expensive ones earlier and now they're selling really cheap ones. And that's the whole game that you're playing with a regular deal hunter website. Now, to my knowledge, I don't think Skyscanner has this same system where they actually have contracts with major companies. They're literally just a search engine for all these different airlines. They might also just get the revenue from the ads that play on their website. I'm not totally sure how their revenue works. Obviously, I can't speak to that, so don't quote me on any of this. But this is just my hunch or sort of understanding. I don't think that they have those contracts like these other major deal hunting websites do. And that is why their search engine works so much better or has so many more options for boutique airlines that the other ones never show up with. So I'll look on Skyscanner. And again, I'll do the same exact process. I'll look from my city and then I will look from the major cities that I know typically have the cheapest flights out of those cities. For me, that is always Dallas because Dallas is the easiest for me to get to, but then it's also Florida. I take in consideration how easy it is for me to get to those other cities based on this next category, points. Now, this is a whole subject in itself, and I'm just going to touch on a bit of the basics instead of getting into the nitty-gritty of all that it works, because you can do your own research, and I'll give you a few different resources on where to research if you really want to get into this. But I do what is called credit card churning. But it basically just means I use my credit cards like a debit card in order to accumulate as many points as I can. So instead of using a debit card on every transaction when I'm spending, I will hold that money in my debit account. I will use a credit card and then I pay that credit card in full every month. It is super important that you are paying your credit card off in full every month in order to do this, or else you're just using credit and you're not actually credit card churning and it's not helping you. It's probably hurting you. Doing credit card churning will also really increase your credit score in general. Basically, it's just educating yourself on exactly how credit works and exactly what benefits credit cards have, and then specifically strategically getting the ones that suit your lifestyle and suit what you want to do and gathering those points every single month as much as you can in order order to utilize all of the benefits. Because really what it is credit cards will have these overly benefited cards because most of the time their consumers or their customers have no idea how credit actually works and they're just trying to get them to sign up. But if you educate yourself a lot, you can use this to your advantage and receive the majorly overzealous benefits that a lot of these credit cards give because they're not expecting you to be educated and actually use them, right? They're expecting you to use your credit card like a credit card and not instantly transferring that payoff every single time you make a transaction or in one big lump sum at the end of the month. And this is like game changing because you can get massive amount of points doing this just with your daily transactions, right? Now, a couple really good resources if you really want to get into this is Ask Sebi on YouTube. He is one of the main YouTubers that I watched when I was getting into this, as well as Ben Hedges. I think originally he was Credit Card Shifu or Credit Shifu, and he's changed his name to Ben Hedges, which is just his normal name. Both of those guys are brilliant, and they will give you all of the tea on exactly what kinds of credit cards would work best for travel, work best for food, and all of that. So I will let them speak on their expertise, and I'll just kind of give you the overall basics, right? So I have specific credit cards that give me airline points, but also just give me points in general that I can use for a lot of different things. The Chase Sapphire Reserve is a really good one, for example, because they have the Chase Portal. Now, the Chase Portal is another search engine, but it searches for airlines, hotels, etc., that you can buy with points. So then I would go to the Chase Portal, for example. There's lots of different ways to do this. Amex has its own thing. I'm just using Chase as an example. Here. I will search the Chase portal for those same exact prompts from my city, from other cities, and then I will look at how many points those are. And then I will take my research out of all the cities that I've looked at, find the cheapest city to fly out of that has the nicest airline seat. And then I will go to Chase Portal and I will see how many points it's going to take to fly me from my city to that city. And I will use my points for that, unless I find just like a magical, really, really good deal on Chase Portal, which sometimes happens, right? We're always comparing all of this information. Now, if it's not worth the points, which a lot of times it is, right? The points will be too high. And Ask Sebi actually has a formula that you can kind of do for how many points per dollar you've actually spent. And you want to make sure that ratio is in a solid amount so you're getting the most out of your points. If I don't get the most out of my points, then I will revert back to getting to that city a different way. Now, a lot of times what I do, and this is really the tea now, guys, we're getting into the details now. I will drive to Dallas and then I will take Spirit Airlines. Now, don't look up Spirit Airlines because you're going to find all of these crazy, scary reviews of people having terrible experiences. They were a startup for a long time. So the first couple years of them really growing was a struggle for sure. Personally, I really feel like they've kind of lined themselves out. But the only reason I use them is because they have the big front seats, which is really just their first class. It's called big front seats on Spirit Airlines. Now, those seats are like amazing. I love those seats. I fly them all of the time. And I will look at how much it is to fly Spirit from Dallas to the main city that I found my cheapest flight in, right? So now I'm getting first class on both legs of the flight. Spirit is an insanely cool company. I won't get into their whole business model because I'll geek out on business strategy for like 45 minutes, but they are a really, really cool disruptive company compared to how traditional airlines have run for a really long time. And that's why they can offer some insanely good deals. Like I have literally flown into Pennsylvania for $25. It blows my mind every time. They also have a yearly annual membership for like $60, unless it's gone up, but I'm pretty sure I pay $60. And you get those extra good deals. So if you travel a lot, I highly recommend actually doing that. That's one of the very few things I ever sign up for, but I've only signed up for it because it's actually legitimately worth it. And you get a much higher discount on like bags and upgrading your seat to that first class. Now, a few things to note, Spirit does do an a la carte system. So you do pay for your own bag. You want to make sure you're including that in the price. And that's why I am signed up for that annual, because it makes those price of bags go down a lot. And then you get an extra like 10 pounds, I want to say. They have a thing called like the Savers Bundle. It's a little pop-up on the screen that pretty much everybody clicks off of. But again, this website is one of the only times that if you pay attention to that pop-up, the deal is actually worth it if you do the math. It's called the Bundle Saver or something like that. But yeah, anyways, all that being said, I do the Bundle Saver because I want that extra 10 pounds. And you get a discount on upgrading your seat to the first class. So let's say that that first class ticket cost me like $150 to get into that main city. And then I make sure that I'm arriving in that city with ample amount of time to get my bags and then recheck them with the new airline that I found the cheapest one with. Now, a lot of people get really scared when I say that and they're thinking, oh my gosh, no, look at the faff. It's going to take so much time and so much stress. I swear it's not that big of a deal, guys. It really isn't. I promise you, like 99% of the reason that you're not getting a really, really good deal on a luxury flight is because you think it's going to be a bigger deal than it is. When you get there, you literally just grab your bags, you get a cart, you walk to the check-in, and then you give the new airline your bags. It literally takes me 15 minutes. It just sounds scary. And that whole process of me doing that saved me, what, $4,000 on a first-class flight? It's so worth it. It is so, so worth it. Another airline I use a lot instead of Spirit is Southwest, and that is because Southwest has a really, really good point system. Now, Southwest does not have first class, so you are sacrificing that a bit, but their points reward system is like phenomenal. A lot of people have the Southwest credit card because their point system is just a lot better than a lot of other programs, so you also could consider that. I really like using their points and getting to the city that way. If I'm trying to spend like no cash, or I want to put more of my budget towards a hotel or whatever, then I'll sacrifice not flying first class on Southwest to get to the city, and then I'll fly first class from the city to wherever destination I'm going to. Now, we've talked a lot about traveling international, but what if you're traveling within the US? Great question. I still do a lot of that same exact process. I just might use Skyscanner first instead of doing Rome to Rio because it's the US and I know a lot of these airlines that are already happening. And if there's a boutique airline going to that place, usually it will show up on Skyscanner, so I don't need to do that extra step of Rome to Rio. And I'll use this website instead. It's called Skip Lagged. And it is so cool. It is one of the coolest travel hacks that there is. All right, Skip Lagged is a search engine that searches all flights that are going to the city you want to go to, regardless if it's its final destination. Now, what does that mean? Guys, do you even know how many flights are going to the city you want to go to, but it's a layover? You're trying to get to Chicago, for example. Well, there might be a flight from Dallas to New York with a layover in Chicago. Skip Lagged will tell you what flights have a layover in the city you want to go to, because a lot of the times prices are based on what's happening in that area. Let's say there's a huge festival event, trade show happening in Chicago, and so all of the flights around that week are heightened. Let's say New York, it's really cold then, it's not the peak season, so flights to New York are pretty cheap, whereas flights to Chicago are massively heightened. But there's a layover, so you buy the flight from Dallas to New York, and you just simply walk out of the airport on your layover in Chicago, and you're there. How insane of a hack is that? I absolutely love that hack. Now, this means you cannot have checked baggage, obviously, because the baggage will be going to New York, so you can only do a carry-on and a personal item in this case, but it's a really, really cool website. I personally haven't done that a lot because I travel with way too much luggage, but I think it's a really, really cool, useful hack, especially if you're traveling a lot inside of the US. That is a great one. So that is all of the tips and tricks that I have for you in this episode today. I know it's been a bit of a long one. There was a lot of information there, but I tried to be as detailed without overwhelming you as I could and give you those other resources that you can look at yourself if you really want to get into this. But comment down below if you want another episode on hotels and how to stay in the best, most luxury hotels for the least expensive, because I have a lot to say on that subject too. And while you're down there, pretty please rate this podcast. It really does help out a brand new podcast like mine, or like this video if you're watching on YouTube. It really, really helps tell the algorithm that this is an interesting video. Thank you so, so much for watching and listening, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye!